The Unbelieving Disciples Gladdened, Chapter 93. In our thoughts we will go into the house where the disciples are assembled. It is late at night, and they still are sitting together. As I told you in the previous chapter, they carefully had locked the door to the street, because the people believed the strange rumor that they had broken into the grave and stolen the body of Jesus. For this reason they are afraid. They fear the wrath of the Jews. They also fear the punishment of the Roman governor. Who knows what is still in store for them? Fearful anxiety fills their hearts. They are not glad and cheerful. They have been witnesses to so much misery in the last few days. Their expectations are shattered. They had expected their beloved master to eventually wear the kingly crown, but instead he received a crown of thorns. They had expected he would be honored. Instead, he was nailed to the cross. Everything was contrary from what they had expected. And now the strange rumor that he has risen has been added to it. At first, they would not listen to it. They said it was only an idle tale. But now, when Peter also tells that he saw the Lord Jesus, and the two Emmaus travelers tell how he walked with them to Emmaus, they no longer dare call it an idle tale. Not only do they begin to question, but they also begin to believe. For they say to the Emmaus travelers, "The Lord is risen indeed." A deep longing for Jesus comes into their hearts. If only they could see their master. Sorrow for Jesus fills their souls. Suddenly and unexpectedly, he stands in their midst. "Peace be unto you," is solemnly heard from his lips. They stare at him with eyes wide with astonishment. They had a longing to see him, but now that he is in their midst, they are afraid. They think they see a spirit. Their hearts pound with fearful terror. Their hands tremble. But the Lord knows what is in their hearts. "Why are ye troubled?" he calmly asks. "Why do such strange thoughts come into your hearts? Do you think I am a ghost? Why, no, it is I myself. Don't you see the scars of the nails in my hands and feet?" He shows them his hands and feet to put them at ease. They must believe it, for they see him. And still, it is too great for them. They cannot and dare not believe it for joy. But the Lord will remove their doubts, for he asks, "Have you anything here for me to eat?" "Oh, yes, they have something." They give him a piece of broiled fish and a piece of a honeycomb. Jesus takes this food and eats it in full view of everyone. Jesus had no need for food because he now has a glorified body, but he could take food and eat it. By this act, the last doubt was taken out of the hearts of the disciples, for a spirit cannot eat. "Did I not tell you this would happen?" Jesus said. "Did not the prophets also prophesy that Christ must suffer and die, and after 3 days he would rise again? All this has been fulfilled." Luke writes, "He opened their understanding." At once it is all clear and plain to them. The Holy Ghost declares everything in their hearts. It is the same today, children. The Holy Ghost must open our hearts and enlighten our understanding. Otherwise, we never will understand anything spiritual. Do you ever ask for this? This night becomes a happy one for the disciples. The Lord Jesus commands them to go and preach. They have seen all these things and have been a witness to them. They are capable of telling all those things which have happened. They must bring the gospel to a world which lies in wickedness, to a world which is dead in sin. They must declare to the people the possibility of being saved. They must point to the blood of Christ, which only can forgive their sins and cleanse their souls. And God's servants still bring this same message. This message never changes. The gospel remains the same throughout all ages until the end of the world. The disciples must begin with this message at Jerusalem. Thus the glad tidings must be brought first of all to the hardened Jews. But afterward the heathens also will have the gospel made known to them, and God will sanctify that preaching by the operation of the Spirit unto the hearts of many. This first day, the resurrection day, the Lord Jesus appeared 5 times. I will name them again. He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, secondly to the women on the way to Jerusalem, thirdly to Peter as he sat in solitude. He appeared next to the 2 Emmaus travelers, and finally to the disciples in the room. Try to retain this in your memory. Every disciple was present that night except Thomas. Couldn't he be there? Was he sick? No, for he had been with them, but he no longer wanted to stay. Doubt and unbelief rent his heart. Thomas also heard the story of the women, but he didn't believe it. Was he indifferent about it? No. On the contrary, sorrow gnaws at his soul. He is so afraid of deceiving himself. If it should not be true, then all of them will deceive themselves. The disappointment will be much greater. No, he doesn't believe it. He doesn't dare believe it. He departs from them. When the disciples were together and Jesus stood in their midst, Thomas was not with them. What a pity. The other disciples did not leave Thomas to his own destiny. No, most likely they went to him the following day. They sought for him. We have seen the Lord, they inform him joyfully. They hope their fellow disciple will believe it. But Thomas shakes his head obstinately. If I do not see the print of the nails in his hands and feet, yes, if I do not feel the scars with my fingers and touch the wound in his side, I will never believe it, he still persists. I must first see and feel. I will not be deceived. I will not be imposed upon. Children, this was wrong of Thomas. It was sinful unbelief. Certainly he was afraid of being deceived, and therefore, in spite of everything, he still would not believe. In this way, a week passes slowly. This was a terrible week for Thomas. He sees the joy of the other disciples, a happiness he does not have. He continually becomes more miserable, more wretched. You can be sure Thomas was not at ease during this entire week. But, happily for Thomas, the Lord Jesus will take the doubt and sinful unbelief out of his heart. How? Listen to what follows. Exactly 1 week later, the disciples again are together. This time Thomas is with them. Silently and with sorrow in his heart, he listens to their conversation, but he does not share in the happiness of their souls. Peace be unto you, These blessed words are heard. Once again, the Savior stands in their midst. Joyfully surprised, they all look up. Thomas, too, with a start, breaks away from his sorrowful meditations. The Lord Jesus looks at the unbelieving disciple, and the voice of God's Son is heard invitingly. Come here, Thomas. You do not want to believe until you put your fingers on the scars of my wounds. You can do it. Isn't the Lord patient with his people? Truly, he is the good shepherd. He gathers his stray sheep. Put your finger in the scars on my hands, Thomas, and lay your hand against my side, and you can be convinced I am really your master. You must not be faithless, but believing. The Lord Jesus manifested to him his omniscience because no one told him the words of Thomas, but he knows. And did Thomas do it? No. Now, when he sees his master and hears his words, the unbelief and the doubt are taken out of his heart. Just listen. Reverently he says, My Lord and my God. Yes, Thomas, says the Lord, you now believe because you have seen me, but blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed. These words are really a soft reproof. I could tell you more about this, but it is too difficult for you, boys and girls. You will notice that the Lord Jesus is not with his disciples every day. Occasionally he appears to them, but he does not walk about with them as he did before.